From VOA, Press Conference USA, here is your host, Carol Castiel.
Welcome to Press Conference USA on the Voice of America. Joining me on the program is VOA Senior National Correspondent Jim Malone. Our topic on this edition of the program, the politics and substance of the impeachment trial of Donald J. Trump, President of the United States. The Democratic-led House of Representatives impeached Donald Trump on December 18, 2019, for abuse of power and obstruction of Congress, making him the third president in history to be charged with committing high crimes and misdemeanors and face removal by the Senate. Democrats characterized his impeachment or indictment as an urgent action to stop a corrupt president whose misdeeds had unfolded in plain view from damaging the United States any further. House Democrats and independent Justin Amash said that Mr. Trump abused his power by subverting American foreign policy for his personal political benefit and obstructed Congress by defying all subpoenas for witnesses and documents and ordering his subordinates not to cooperate with the investigation. During the Senate trial, the House of Representatives managers produced evidence that President Trump pressured Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky to announce investigations into Mr. Trump's rival, Joe Biden, to benefit him politically, as well as a debunked theory that Ukraine, not Russia, interfered in the 2016 U.S. election before agreeing to grant a White House meeting and disperse almost $400 million in congressionally approved military aid for U.S. ally Ukraine. In mid-January, the Nonpartisan Government Accountability Office found that the Trump administration illegally froze this security assistance. During his closing argument, lead impeachment manager Congressman Adam Schiff, Democrat from California, argued that Donald Trump, quote, must be convicted and removed from office because he will always choose his own personal interest over the U.S. national interest, unquote.
And you know, you can't trust this president to do what's right for this country. You can trust he will do what's right for Donald Trump. He'll do it now. He's done it before. He'll do it for the next several months. He'll do it in the election if he's allowed to. This is why, if you find him guilty, you must find that he should be removed.
Representative Adam Schiff speaking to the Senate in his closing remarks. On the other hand, Mr. Trump's defense team argued that the House managers had not established their case and that their accusations fell short of the threshold needed to remove the president from office, particularly in an election year. Here is White House counsel Pat Cipollone.
What they are asking you to do is to throw out a successful president on the eve of an election with no basis and in violation of the Constitution. It would dangerously change our country and weaken forever all of our democratic institutions.
Pat Cipollone, White House counsel. However, it is precisely because President Trump allegedly tried to interfere in the upcoming 2020 elections by soliciting dirt on his chief political rival Joe Biden by a foreign government that House managers believe Mr. Trump should be removed from office. They also wanted a fair trial, which normally includes witnesses and documents, something which has yet to occur, even though a large majority of Americans are in favor of both. They especially wish to call John Bolton, President Trump's former national security advisor, in whose yet-to-be-published memoir writes that Trump personally told him that he is withholding $391 million in military aid to Ukraine until Ukraine announces an investigation into Democratic presidential contender Joe Biden. But Alan Dershowitz, one of the president's defense lawyers, said that nothing in the Bolton revelations, even if true, would rise to the level of an abuse of power or an impeachable offense. He also rejected what he called vague terms such as abuse of power and obstruction of justice as among the enumerated and defined criteria for impeaching the president. This theory has been rejected by most constitutional scholars. He went so far as to say that anything a president does to get reelected could be considered in the nation's interest and therefore not impeachable. Well, our distinguished guest on this edition of the program will shed light on the politics and substance of the impeachment trial. Alan Lichtman is Distinguished Professor of History at American University here in Washington. His most recent book is Repeal the Second Amendment, The Case for a Safer America, and he is the author of The Case for Impeachment. He predicted the election of Donald Trump, and he also predicted his impeachment. We will now talk with him about that very topic, the impeachment trial of President Donald J. Trump. Even Alan Dershowitz invoked Alan Lichtman in his remarks to the Senate. So Alan Lichtman joins us here at the VOA Broadcast Center in Washington. Alan, welcome back to the program.
Great to see you again.
And always I'm delighted to welcome my colleague Jim Malone.
Pleasure. Thank you.
So Alan, you predicted President Trump's election. You predicted that he would be impeached. Now what? Tell us your assessment of the trial so far, the process and the politics.
I think the trial has been absolutely devastating to Donald Trump. You don't park your common sense at the curb when you go to be a juror or to assess a trial. And every single piece of evidence, including a lot of things that have come out since the impeachment, have all been incriminating. They all make it crystal clear that Donald Trump used the power and authority of his office to get a foreign nation to help him cheat in the 2020 election by ditching dirt on the man who had emerged as his primary opponent, former Vice President Joe Biden, and to take Russia off the hook for interfering in the 2016 election and pushing the discredited theory, not just by the entire intelligence community, but by a bipartisan consensus of the Senate Intelligence Committee, that somehow it was really Ukraine, not Russia, that interfered in the election. The defense against this has become so thin that we had Alan Dershowitz make the incredibly outrageous argument that because a president believes that his reelection is in the national interest, he can do anything he wants, break the law, bring in foreign nations to help us cheat, so long as he believes it helps him get reelected and is in the national interest. This has now become as bad as Watergate. This is exactly what John Mitchell, the campaign chair of the committee to reelect the president, President Nixon, argued, that we engage in all these illegal activities and all these dirty tricks because we thought the reelection of Richard Nixon was so important to the country. If you believe that, you might as well kiss our democracy goodbye. We've become Vladimir Putin's Russia.
Of course, the Republicans are saying that this is a partisan exercise on the part of the Democrats because it's mostly Democrats, except for the one independent lawmaker. No Republican lawmaker voted for impeachment in the House of Representatives. So what do you say to that? And do you think that if the shoe were on the other foot, that if a Democratic president did what Mr. Trump has been alleged to do, do you think that the Republicans would be so dismissive of the charges as they are now, it seems?
Yeah, I think it is correct that this is a partisan vote, clearly. And we are in a very partisan age. And on the one hand, you could say the Democrats proceeded with impeachment without a bipartisan consensus. But you can say, on the other hand, the Republicans have become the complete enablers of Donald Trump, blinding themselves to what is patently obvious, his clear abuse of power, which virtually every constitutional scholar agrees is impeachable. And they didn't, as Dershowitz claims, concoct this because Donald Trump is on trial. That notion, well established, that abuse of power is impeachable, goes back decades. You can go back to Raoul Berger's classic study of impeachment in 1974, and he certainly made that point. Now, why have Republicans become complete enablers of Donald Trump, even buying into his idea that I can do anything I want as president, because they have nothing left? Donald Trump has trashed every principle that the Republicans once claimed to stand for. Personal morality, personal responsibility, fidelity to the truth, gone. Limited government, fiscal responsibility, gone. Respect for traditional institutions, gone. Standing up to autocratic government in Russia, gone. So the only thing they have left to do, to fall back on, is Donald Trump. That's why they have blinded themselves to all of the evidence and all of the soundest constitutional arguments to do nothing but try to exonerate Trump. They don't even want to call witnesses. Every single impeachment trial in U.S. history has had witnesses, with an average of 33 per trial. They don't even want to hear from John Bolton, whose book, according to the New York Times, indicates that he has the direct evidence from Donald Trump that he held up nearly $400 million in security aid to get Ukraine to fetch dirt on his political opponent. If that isn't relevant, I don't know what possibly could be here.
And one of the arguments or criticisms by the Republicans is that we don't have direct witnesses, but they're the ones that are preventing these witnesses from appearing.
Yeah, it's an absolutely incomprehensible argument. We don't have direct evidence, but we won't let it come in. And as far as if Barack Obama had done one-tenth of the things that Donald Trump has done, the Republicans would have him impeached and dismissed faster than you can say Richard Nixon.
Jim Malone.
Alan, it's great to see you, and thanks for coming on the program, as always. I wonder if we anticipate that in the end, because of the Republican majority in the Senate, the president will be acquitted. And all of this then kind of gets focused on the November election, really, the presidential election. What do you foresee as the possible impact, the political fallout from what we've seen in recent months with the Trump impeachment?
I think the conventional wisdom, as always, is wrong. They seem to think this will be forgotten by November. I respectfully disagree. It was my 13 keys to the White House that enabled me to predict Donald Trump's win against all the conventional wisdom. And one of the negative keys that can turn against a president or his party is the scandal key. And this has certainly turned the scandal key, with Donald Trump being only the third American president to be impeached by the full House. And by the way, what the conventional wisdom also seems to be overlooking is while the public is divided on whether Donald Trump should be removed, they're not divided on whether he's done something wrong. Over 60% believe, either in the campaign or as president, he's done something wrong. 70% believe he's done something unethical. A substantial majority believes, indeed, regardless of what Alan Dershowitz peddles, that he has indeed committed an abuse of power. And as we know, every single new piece of evidence is incriminating, not exculpatory. They could block the Republicans, John Bolton, from testifying, but they can't silence his voice. The White House has even tried astoundingly to stifle free speech by blocking publication of his book on the phony claim that it's revealing classified information. From what we've seen from the New York Times, it's not classified information. It's politically embarrassing information. And I think Adam Schiff is right. The truth will eventually come out, and a lot more will come out that is going to be damning before the election.
Do you think it's disappointing, though, to Democrats that they haven't seemed to move President Trump's base that much on these allegations? Also, I've been watching the president's approval rating. It's actually creeping up ever so slightly in recent weeks. It did dip after the impeachment vote late last year. But what's your take on how this impacts his approval rating and how voters see him generally?
I don't think it moves the base at all. If anything, it might make the base more supportive of Donald Trump because they think their guy is under attack. But the approval rating, which is, you know, maybe ticked up half a point, but it's still in the low 40% range, reflects more the economy than anything else. The truth is, given the economy that we've had, his approval rating should be 65%, not 43%. So I think all of the flaws of Donald Trump as a leader, as a person, are what's holding him down. And the Democrats should forget about his base. That's not what they have to go after. His base isn't big enough to get him reelected. You don't win with 42%, 43% of the vote. It's the independents that matter, and they overwhelmingly, in all of the polling, believe that Donald Trump has done something wrong, and a majority believes that we should go as far as to remove him from office.
You're listening to Press Conference USA on the Voice of America. Our guest is Alan Lichtman, Distinguished Professor of History at American University. And I'm Carol Castiel, along with VOA Senior National Correspondent Jim Malone. We're analyzing the impeachment trial of Donald J. Trump, President of the United States. This is a reminder that our PCUSA podcast is available on our website at voanews.com/PCUSA. A new VOA English app for both Android and Apple devices has been developed, and we encourage you to download and use them. You may also follow us on Twitter or connect with us on Facebook at Carol Castiel VOA. Here's a big shout out to a loyal fan, Antoine Kamu Enyi from Kananga, Democratic Republic of Congo. If you want to hear your name and home country on the air, please send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or like us and leave a comment on our Facebook page. So back to our special guest, Alan Lichtman, talking about the impeachment trial of Donald J. Trump. Now, what about the argument, Alan, that the Democrats, they just want to undo the 2016 election? Why would they be doing this so close to the 2020 election? Now, we sort of know why. They're worried that he would feel emboldened to solicit more foreign assistance to assist him in trying to win the election. But how would you respond to that critique?
It's completely off base. I was one of those who had been advocating opening an impeachment investigation after special counsel Robert Mueller found 10 instances of obstruction of justice. But in fact, the Democratic leadership resisted that. They didn't want to move to impeachment. It's just the opposite of the critique. They only moved towards impeachment when Donald Trump, in effect, self-impeached by breaking the law and shaking down a foreign power, which I think is bribery and extortion, to meddle in the 2020 election, just as the Russians had meddled on his behalf in the 2016 election. And insofar as canceling out an election, completely phony argument. The framers put impeachment into the Constitution as an equal means of deciding who is fit to be president of the United States. And they expected it to be used. As John Adams said, all men are avaricious, all men need to be checked. So to say this is somehow an illegitimate cancellation of the election is to fly in the face of the plain meaning and plain words of the Constitution. And by the way, Alan Dershowitz, who's put out this outrageous argument that a president can do anything he wants, regardless of the law, to get reelected, also completely distorts the Constitution and the framers. For example, the most outrageous thing he did was he quotes Gouverneur Morris, one of the delegates to the Constitutional Convention, saying you had to have specifically enumerated things in the Constitution to charge president, not vague ideas like abuse of power. What he leaves out entirely is that Gouverneur Morris then later said, the debates at the convention changed my mind, and I now believe in a broad category of impeachment offenses related to abuse of power, including, quote, corruption of his electors.
Alan, what do you make of the defense's arguments regarding the so-called quid pro quo? Now, we know that foreign aid is often conditioned on certain acts by the recipient, normally acts that are publicly known, maybe involving more women in development or reaching other publicly acknowledged benchmarks. But it seems like the defense is sort of conflating that with this particular quid pro quo that is asking a foreign power, in this case ally Ukraine, to investigate a political rival. How do you see this conflation? And what about the emphasis on Joe Biden or Hunter Biden trying to impugn the integrity of both of them?
There is no legitimate conflation. Of course, foreign aid can be withheld for a legitimate public policy purpose and in accordance with the Federal Impoundment Control Act, which said you must write a report to Congress, give your reasons, and get authorization from Congress. Because this shakedown of Ukraine had no legitimate purpose. They broke the law. The Government Accountability Office found they broke the law. They didn't make a report to Congress. They didn't provide any reasons. Well, they said, well, we broke the law and didn't do this because we didn't want to send a signal to the Russians that we were withholding this aid. 2 points on that. One, it totally contradicts their argument that there's no harm because they admitted, if the Russians know this, there's major harm because it weakens our support for Ukraine. And number two, of course the Russians knew. The Russians have the greatest intelligence operation in Europe. The idea that they couldn't find this out unless you made a report to Congress is like so many other arguments, utter nonsense. And by the way, Trump has said the aid was released ahead of time. No, the aid was released past time. There had to be a special act of Congress to get it all dispersed. And even to this day, there is still money that hasn't been dispersed. So apart from the signal to the Russians, the actual harm has also been the aid is so vital, has been substantially delayed.
And what do you think the real reason behind the Republicans' resistance to having witnesses and documents at a trial, which normally has witnesses and documents?
Every impeachment trial, whether presidents or judges, has had witnesses, as many as an average of 33. They don't want witnesses because they know witnesses are going to be absolutely damaging to the president. Do they want John Bolton to get up here and say, Donald Trump told me I'm withholding the aid from Ukraine until they ditch dirt on my opponent? Do they want John Bolton to get up here and say that Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who didn't defend the defamed U.S. ambassador to the Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch, knew that the charges against her were trumped up and phony, created by the president's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani. They don't want any of that to come out. And there's a big difference between Adam Schiff and the other House managers talking about all this and actually having a live witness. It's like reading a play on paper and actually seeing the play performed. The difference couldn't be greater.
Of course, the senators blame the House managers for not waiting, going through the courts to get the very witnesses of which they speak. But on the other hand, they're saying, well, that would have taken forever because of the stonewalling. Nonetheless, that's their argument.
The president never claimed executive privilege, contrary to what his defenders have told you. He claimed absolute immunity. So you take that through the courts. It would probably take you right through the election and vitiate the impeachment entirely. Or even if you won before the election, you know what? Donald Trump starts the process all over again by then claiming executive privilege. So that's a disingenuous argument, and it's a trap. You could certainly move much faster through the Senate with the Chief Justice sitting there who can make a ruling.
You know, I wondered, too, as in your role as a presidential historian, what does this do to the whole act of impeachment now? This is the second one we've had in about 20 years. Do you think in the very polarized age we're in now, it's going to become more of a partisan weapon?
I don't think so. Look, the Democrats were so reluctant to impeach. Nancy Pelosi said, I think Donald Trump is so bad he should be in jail, but it's not worth impeaching. So I don't think this is going to lead to a rash of impeachment. Remember, they only acted when Donald Trump forced their hand. They would have been guilty of the greatest negligence and malpractice if they had not opened up an impeachment inquiry after what Donald Trump did in Ukraine.
You talked about the impact it might be on the president's base about the impeachment. How might this affect Democrats and Democratic voters as they look ahead to the election? Will they be somewhat depressed that the president would have overcome the impeachment act, or could it fuel them in terms of what's going to happen in November?
I think they'll be fired up. I think they'll be angry and ready to vote this president out. You know, that's been the Republican argument. You don't like him, vote him out. So I don't think they'll be depressed or downtrodden. You know, the president tried to use impeachment to his advantage in the off-year elections in 2019. And guess what? They lost governorships in Kentucky and Louisiana. They lost control of both houses in Virginia. And Kentucky and Louisiana are deep ruby red states.
And Alan, many analysts and ordinary Americans are worried about what the implications are for our foreign policy. What message does this send if President Trump ends up being acquitted by the Senate, is not removed? Will that embolden him in terms of trying to solicit foreign assistance? Again, engage in this kind of quid pro quo, well, I'll
do this for you if, you know, you do that for me? You know, what implications?
He will be unleashed. He will be emboldened. Alan Dershowitz says, I can do anything I want to get reelected because I think that's in the interest of the country. He will cheat. He will lie. He will use foreign powers to his advantage. He will again welcome and exploit Russian interference in our election. This whole Republican argument has now given Russians a bright green light to do again what they did in 2016. Aside from its effect on the next election, this puts our entire democracy in peril. Here's what the Republicans are doing. They are willing to sacrifice well over 200 years of the integrity of our democratic republic to protect this lying and corrupt president.
What about the impact on congressional oversight? Because even before the impeachment process, President Trump would defy subpoenas or defy requests for information during the constitutional process of oversight by the House of Representatives.
The president has become much closer to an autocrat, and remarkably, the Republican senators have in effect capitulated the authority and power of their own chamber. Congress will now be rendered ineffective. The managers lied when they said, you know, virtually every president has claimed absolute immunity for high officers of the government, whoever they may be. False. Ronald Reagan said, I want every person in my administration during the Iran-Contra scandal to testify and tell the truth. In the Bill Clinton impeachment, three current and former chiefs of staff testified. What Donald Trump has done is unique in the annals of American history, and it is a dire portent for the balance of power in this country. Do we really want to turn into Russia? We have been such a successful democracy. Are Republicans willing to trash all of that to protect Donald Trump? And by the way, if he's removed, it's not Nancy Pelosi who becomes president. It's Mike Pence, a down-the-pipe conservative Christian Republican. Is that such a terrible thing?
Well, that's a very good point. And one could argue, too, that many of Mr. Trump's policies are a result of his association with Vice President Pence, the evangelical base, the conservative judges. This is all channeling Vice President Mike Pence.
I actually think if they could vote in secret, a majority of Republican senators would prefer to have Mike Pence as president rather than the loose cannon that is Donald Trump.
Unless there's a lightning bolt between now and the actual vote in the Senate.
You know, God himself could come down in a basket and say Donald Trump is guilty and it wouldn't move most Republicans.
So that leaves us, where do the Democrats go from here?
Well, I think they have to utilize this and say this has been a whitewash. This has been a sham trial. We know that the president is guilty and Republicans are just ignoring the Constitution and the law and trashing our democracy, and go after those Republicans in vulnerable states like Colorado and Iowa and New Hampshire.
So what about the fact that they may be at a disadvantage during the election if the Republicans in the Senate and even in the House are not willing to enforce stricter election laws to secure our election, to fight against the mounds of disinformation that are being spread across social media platforms? I mean, this is a big challenge.
Huge. Look, here's what's going on. Republicans are relying on a shrinking base of the electorate, right? White people and basically white men. That is the most vanishing part of the electorate. We are becoming a much more diverse society. They can't create more old white men, but they can try to suppress the votes of the Democratic base through things like purges of voter rolls, photo voter ID laws, and they could try to cheat in elections like Donald Trump is doing in Ukraine, and by welcoming, inviting, and utilizing the interference of Vladimir Putin and the Russian intelligence services. This is beyond anything that we saw in Watergate, beyond anything we've ever seen in the history of the country. I've been studying politics for over 50 years, and I can barely sleep at night.
Alan Lichterman is Distinguished Professor of History at American University. He's the author of The Case for Impeachment. Alan Lichterman, thanks so much for coming in, sharing your very unique insights about this impeachment trial.
Thank you, Carol.
Press Conference USA on the Voice of America was produced in Washington. Joining me on the program was VOA Senior National Correspondent Jim Malone. Thanks to Kim Lewis for booking our guest. Our engineer was Joe Gill. I'm Carol Castiel. Join me again next week for another Press Conference USA on the Voice of America.